Hi, I'm Jacob Tucker, and welcome to the first episode of Beyond the Story. This podcast will take a deeper look at the stories published for Express Magazine here at San Francisco State University. My first guest is Jeremy Julian, and our topic of discussion today is esports, which, as Jeremy writes in his article, has grown immensely in the past few years, but still has challenges ahead. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, what exactly is esports for people who've never heard of it?
All right, so esports stands for electronic sports. What it basically is just competitive gaming. So it's been going on for a long time, since gaming was a thing, pretty much. But it's grown in the last few years with the Evo competition, which is a fighting game competition in Las Vegas, and the Dota 2 International, and Smash Brothers and other games like that. Overwatch League is another big one that's come up in the last year.
Mm-hmm. So you say it's kind of always been around. When was the first esports competition?
So it was in the 70s. I forget the exact game. It was one of those more older base games where it was just kind of like, it had something to do with light, and it was put on by Rolling Stone magazine. So it was sometime in the 70s, so about 40 years ago.
Okay, yeah. Because I think a lot of people who, you know, do know about it just kind of, you know, in a small way know that it's kind of a recent thing, but
yeah.
I mean, I personally didn't know that it had gone back that far.
Yeah.
Like you said, these tournaments, they've been growing a lot.
Yep, definitely.
So how has that been happening in the last few years?
So it's been happening mainly because of Twitch. So like Amazon owns this this website called Twitch where gamers can stream their games. You can post videos of games, and like there's tons of you can get feedback from people, like comments and things like that. And it's free to use, and then people can like give you cheers or give you like donations and things like that. And so because of Twitch, a lot of these competitions are being streamed over Twitch. So like a lot of Dota competitions, League of Legends is kind of the number one game for Twitch. A lot of people stream like Fortnite competitions, and Call of Duty, like the Call of Duty World League is on there. Overwatch League is probably one of the more prominent things recently, because Overwatch League is partnered with Twitch, so it's streamed exclusively on there. And then they have tons of other games. Evo tournament is streamed on Twitch as well.
Okay, so when Twitch streams these competition, like, you know, thousands of people are just tuning in to watch it live, right?
Yeah.
And then what do the tournaments usually consist of?
So the tournaments, they're always kind of different. Even between the same game, tournaments are different. Like, there's Overwatch tournaments all the time, but like Overwatch League is a thing that lasts like 8 months, and there's last season there was 12 teams. This upcoming season, which starts in December, has 16 teams. So it usually varies with the way the tournaments are set up. Evo was set up in a way where there's a winner's bracket and a loser's bracket. So the person that wins the loser's bracket and the person that wins the winner's bracket, they end up facing each other in the final. But the person that wins the winner's bracket only has to win one out of three sets. And the person that wins the loser's bracket has to win two. Two out of three against each other, which is exactly what happened in Dragon Ball FighterZ. The winner, he beat the guy from the loser's bracket. The guy from the loser's bracket, he ended up winning the first set, but the winner ended up winning the second set, and he ended up taking it all, which was for Dragon Ball FighterZ, and that guy's name was Sonic Fox.
Sonic Fox, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is that his actual name? Or
his name is Dominique McLean.
Mm-hmm.
He's American. It's very rare for Americans to win fighting games, especially the Japanese ones. He dominates like Injustice and Mortal Kombat, which are both American games. But Dragon Ball FighterZ is Japanese, and this was the first year they ever did it. And he beat I believe a Japanese player at it. So
Okay. So that's kind of interesting. Why do you think American players usually have a harder time beating Asian players?
Well, like Japan and Korea specifically, they're usually more hardcore about those competitive games like that. Americans are more tailored for like first-person shooters and third-person shooters like Call of Duty and Gears of War, because those games are just more like more Americans play them in general. But when you're talking like fighting games, most of them are dominated by the Japanese market. So the biggest fighting games, Dragon Ball, BlazBlue, Street Fighter, those are all Japanese. And then, like, Mortal Kombat still exists, and Injustice exists, but those are made by the same developer, and they're American. everything else is basically Japanese.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. We do like guns here in America.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
Makes sense that we do well with the ones that actually have guns. So, I mean, one thing is that esports isn't like other sports. You know, it's not physically demanding in the way that other sports are. And the game takes place on a screen rather than on a field or a court. So how is this, given the activity, challenges, like with being taken seriously and things like that?
So it's given it challenges because it has, more so it has the name sport in there. So a lot of people think, oh, it's not a sport because it's not physical. It's not physical enough, which I understand. They're like them saying that. I understand why they say that. But once you actually sit down and watch it, it's actually very demanding, at least mentally. And then it also has some physical aspects, like there's Twitch-based skills and things like that. And when it comes to esports, a lot of people, once they hit like their late 20s or early 30s, they're considered old in the esports industry because their skills usually aren't as fast. They don't have those Twitch-based motion skills as much as they did when they were in their early 20s. So that's why the people that dominate, like Sonic Fox, he's only like 20 years old. And like a lot of people are 18, 19, 20 years old. And there is some physicality to it. Maybe not as much as others, but it's more about technique. But it has given it some challenges as to why like a lot of people don't want to watch it because it's not as entertaining. And also it's easier to follow like basketball, football and baseball. It's easier to follow. These players are doing something on the field. They're scoring a touchdown. You can tell what a touchdown is. You can tell what a score is. But the issue with like esports and certain games like Dota or League of Legends, they're way more complex and you're looking at players playing on a screen. And obviously it's like 3D animated CGI characters and there's tons of explosions and crazy things going on at a time. So people just can't follow it, which makes sense. A game that's been popular in recent years called Rocket League, that game's easy to follow because it's soccer but with cars. So it's a team of cars versus another team of cars, and you're driving around and you have to hit this giant soccer ball into a goal. And that game is extremely easy to follow for anyone. So that game has been really popular as of recent, even with like the casual audience.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of interesting. I mean, one thing, you know, with those games, I don't know if, you know, a lot of the developers like Blizzard, if they were kind of designing those games to be competitive or played in the competitive way that they are, or if that's just kind of a thing that evolved around it.
It's both, but especially as of recent with Overwatch. Overwatch was specifically designed to be like a fun game to play as a shooter, but it was also designed to be really competitive. As a lot of games do this, but Overwatch is more serious about it. It has two modes, so you play like your regular like player matches, which is like just the quick match, and then there's a ranked mode. And where like the ranked competitive mode is, like I play both on Overwatch, so competitive is where a lot of those more serious players play, and they have actual like ranks, like bronze, silver, diamond, all those ranks like that, top 500, things like that. So you can play a game and you end up seeing a player with an emblem that notifies that they're top 500 in the world during that season. And Overwatch actually does seasons, so every few months they do a season of competitive, and then they reward players with like skins or like icons for playing through that season if you're reaching a certain rank. And they definitely made that game with competitive in mind.
Do you think that a lot of developers would kind of have that more in mind in developing future games?
Oh yeah, definitely, because it's become such a big thing. Like Call of Duty originally wasn't developed in that way. Call of Duty still had, I mean, always had online multiplayer, but it wasn't what it was until like Call of Duty 4 came out, because that was the game that had more balance to it. That was the game where you can customize more. That was the game that was more popular. So, and that came with like MLG, which is Major League Gaming. So a lot of people started forming teams to play Call of Duty, and it just grew around that. So now Activision and the developers of these games, they're more so looking at Call of Duty as a competitive thing. So like there's a Call of Duty World League now, which hasn't been around for very long, just a few years. So they haven't been doing that forever, but it's been around for a few years, and there's like big prize pools for that. And so they're definitely focusing more on that. Like then Black Ops 4 comes out next month, and there's no single player whatsoever. It's battle royale, it's multiplayer, and it's zombies. They got rid of the single player, so they're focusing more on the multiplayer aspect.
So I kind of wanted to talk about some of the other challenges that, you know, is kind of facing esports. So one thing is, you know, financial sustainability for the players themselves. You know, a lot of these tournaments have prize money at the end, but not everybody wins that prize money, even though it takes a huge time commitment to be able to compete in these things, right?
Yeah, so a lot of these players, they practice for hours and hours and days, and they end up going to tournaments, and they ended up, like, using their own money to go to these tournaments, and they end up, like, not getting top five or top ten, and they either take home very little or they take home nothing at all. And it's kind of, like, it seems kind of, like, heartbreaking to like, do all that and have nothing to show for it, put all that effort into it, compared to, like, the NBA or the NFL, like, there's some really bad players out there making millions of dollars a year, and they don't even really play. They sit on the bench. And that's mainly because, like, the NFL and the NBA have a lot more money backing it and a lot more money funding it, which hopefully esports is going more in that direction. It just has to reach that, like, faster. It's going pretty slow because a lot of players are still – they're not able to make this a full-time sustainable job. A lot of players have, like, normal, regular 9-to-5 jobs, and then they play games to make more money, but then a lot of them want to do full-time, but they realize, like, I'm probably not going to finish top 10 or top 5, so I might not get that much money. Like, even Sonic Fox, like, he didn't make hundreds of thousands. He made a decent amount, but he didn't make hundreds of thousands for winning. He has to win other tournaments in order to make other money as well, and he's the best in the world at Dragon Ball and at Mortal Kombat. And so it is a challenge. For overcoming that, I think there needs to be more actual leagues and more, like, sponsorships. So, like, Overwatch League is ran more like an actual football team or a basketball team. So where they have, like, an owner and coaches and team staff. And then it's a league, so they're getting, like, paid salary, basically. And they get paid better for them performing better. So if they win the final, they get paid, I believe it was $1 million payout for that team. And then if they win each stage, they get paid. If they win a stage playoff, they get paid more. So there are incentives. It's good to, like, have guaranteed pay and then have incentives. That's why a lot of these teams, like Optic and TSM and FaZe, these teams exist, and a lot of players are part of these teams for different games. They exist because they create more of a safety net for players, so they know that they have financial backing behind them. So because they can play games like full-time, play games, they can make money doing it, but they know they're guaranteed something out of it.
Mm-hmm. So then at that point, it'd be a lot more like other sports, you know,
where
you're doing it professionally.
Yeah.
You don't have to rely on prize money and that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that's kind of the more serious, like, professional side of esports, but there's also kind of a more casual side too that you kind of wrote about in your story.
Yeah, definitely. So I went to a place in the Castro called Brewcade. So as the name sounds, it's an arcade, but it's also a bar. And it's definitely really different in there. When you go in there, it's a different type of environment where everyone's playing games competitively, but they're having fun. And it's just a way for people to, like, casually just play games against each other. It's still competitive, but they're having, like, drinking games and stuff like that. There's no real, like, big prizes or things like that. They're just playing just for the fun of it. And it kind of brings in that more social aspect. And they were saying that there's a lot of players there that are, like, really good at the game that could be playing competitive, but they just choose not to, or they will, but then they choose to do this as well just to get away from the more competitive scene. So they play, like, Smash 4, which isn't as competitive as Melee. Because Smash Melee can bring more of the hardcore players, and they kind of don't want that as much. They want players that play the game, but they're more, like, casual in their competition, so it doesn't feel like it's unfair.
Yeah.
So they don't feel like someone has an unfair advantage. They're just playing for fun. You know?
Yeah. I mean, is that the only reason they would want to keep more hardcore players away, or is there other reasons?
There could be, like, toxicity with hardcore players. I've noticed, even on my end playing Overwatch and just watching Twitch streams of Overwatch League and things like that, like, there are definitely, like, hardcore players that'll use, like, slurs and things like that, and they'll just be, like, mean and rude to their own teammates and to other teams and things like that. And you don't see that in the casual team. You don't see that with casual players. Like, I'll play Overwatch League or Overwatch competitively online, and I'll see like players like just being mean to each other. And when I play casual, like it still happens, of course. Like gaming can be quite toxic, but it's not nearly as bad. So like sometimes I just prefer playing player, like regular quick matches, because if I'm trying out a new character and I'm not doing so good, I'm not going to get called slurs and things like that and just get yelled at online to switch my character and things like that if I'm playing casual. Yeah,
so it's kind of like, you know, like the trope of, you know, while you're playing Call of Duty, you know, some guy tells you he's going to fuck your mom because you didn't capture a base or something like that.
Yeah, Call of Duty is notorious for that stuff. Like, playing Call of Duty as, like, a teenager so much, especially on Xbox, back in the day, especially, like, Call of Duty 4 and Modern Warfare 2, I heard it all. I heard, like, so many, like, just bad, bad, cruel things, and I'm just like, man, like, I just, it makes you just turn your headset off, and, like, at this point, I only play with my headset on when I play with friends, because I just don't want to hear the toxic stuff from other players.
Yeah, why do you think that is, that people are so cruel?
It's just, like, a lot of industries, gaming is very toxic, and it's also very, there's a lot of like macho-ness to it. Like there's a lot of like people that take out their frustrations in it, and they feel like they're like the alpha male or the big dog. There's a lot of competitiveness to it, but it also, with competition, brings the toxic nature of it, because it's not just trash talk. It's like bad, like racist things, homophobic things, like all the time. You see Twitch streamers constantly getting like flagged and getting banned or getting suspended because they said the N-word on their show while streaming. Like PewDiePie yells it out like in one of his streams, and it's just a lot of these websites don't do a good enough job at vetting it and then banning people. Rainbow Six is doing a really good job. Like Ubisoft developed Rainbow Six Siege. So with Siege, now if players use any type of like, not really bad language, but like hate speech, Ubisoft will ban that player or like suspend that player from playing the game. That's a that's a highly competitive game. Mm-hmm. And Siege can get quite toxic, so Ubisoft's actually doing something about it. And I just wish like Twitch would do more about it for these like competitions and like for like online competitions, but also just Twitch streamers in general. Then that would make like the competitive scene a little bit better. Because we've seen like Overwatch League players have gotten in trouble for saying things, and that's in the actual league. Mm-hmm. So they just need to get better about it. But we see it in normal sports as well. It's just a little bit less toxic because it's not, normal sports are more diverse, so you don't see much racial and like homophobic slurs being thrown around like that, especially in like basketball. So they just have to get to that point. It's still like it's been around, but it's still fairly new sport. Like esports is still fairly new, and it's not really as organized as it should be.
Yeah, and I mean, I can imagine that, you know, for someone casual who maybe plays a game that they're watching, you know, but they're not like super into it, they might be turned away by people who are, you know, throwing out racial slurs and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. I feel like I've been playing games like forever, and I've been playing like competitive style games forever, so like I'm used to it, but it's still like, it still hurts to hear like things like that, and it's still like bothersome. So I just like turn my mic off or things like that, but then it just takes away from the fun of the game because you can't really communicate with people if you're cutting your mic off. So it just kind of like, it kind of like is a negative, double negative. So you're hearing these slurs, but then you turn your mic off, but then the players that you actually want to talk to, you can't really, unless you get into a party with them and things like that, you can't really communicate. And I feel like as casual players, I feel like it's probably a lot worse for them because they hear that and they're like, oh my God, like this is, gaming is toxic, it's bad, you know, and it's not all bad. There is a lot of toxicity in gaming, but it's usually good. Like it's not rare to find someone that's like saying bad things, but it's more often than not there people are like being friendly with you. Mm-hmm. But it's still an issue.
Yeah. So in, what kind of attracted you to writing this story?
So what attracted me to writing the story was that it's basically like Overwatch specifically, because I play it so much and I play ranked a lot, and then the Overwatch League had just ended 2 months ago, and even though I didn't watch every match, I followed through with the Overwatch League throughout the entire like 7-8 months of it, and I have watched documentaries about like Dota, and I've watched competitions. Evo just ended last month, and I remember just watching the Evo Championship while I was on my BART ride home, and I was just like, man, I was like on BART just like trying not to like yell, because I was like, this is so intense. I'm like, I really want to like do a story on this, because I've been writing about games for like 5 years now, but I never really touched on like the competitive scene. And I feel like it's something that's been growing, especially this past summer, because EVO was its most, this is the most watched like EVO game ever, which was Dragon Ball FighterZ, which I believe it was like close to like 300,000 viewers. And then like Overwatch League was on Disney, so it was on ESPN, Disney XD, and then of course Twitch, which is owned by Amazon. So I was like, this thing's getting really big. Like, I've been in esports, but like, it's getting really big. I want to actually like write something about this and talk to people that are like, that are either interested in it or they actually like organize these events. And it's cool to get their perspective from the side of the person that I spoke with from the esports arena and the people that I spoke with from Super Trash Brothers, which was the Brucade event, which is just a Smash tournament, but involving alcohol.
Yeah. So were they like actually trashed when you went there?
They weren't trashed, because they were just like drinking a sip of beer if they lost, if they died. They weren't trashed, but you can tell they had a little, they were liquored up a little bit, so they were just more open and more like friendly towards each other, and more, they were just more talkative. And it was more like a party, but with gaming, and less of like a serious competition. So it was pretty cool to be around. I was like, wow, drinking game with Super Smash Brothers. Like, and they do it every single Monday. Some Mondays they do a different game, but it's usually Smash Brothers. And one of the guys who runs it, actually both of them, they told me that they also stream at Twitch's headquarters. So they stream their tournaments on Twitch as well, but they go to the Twitch headquarters and they do a Super Smash Brothers tournament there as well, like at their headquarters in downtown SF.
Okay. I mean, I might have to check out that Brucade place, because, yeah, I mean,
it's awesome.
Yeah, that's me and my roommate. That's one of our favorite things, is getting drunk and playing Super Smash Brothers. So.
Yeah, it seems like the perfect place for that. And they have tons of arcade games too. And it seems like they do an event like every few days with some game. It's just the Smash one seems to be the really popular one.
Okay. All right. Well, anything else you would want to add, or?
That's about it. But I would like to add, like, just probably tell people, if you're a casual watcher, or if you are a hardcore gamer yourself that hasn't gotten into esports, I would say give it a try. I would start off by watching Rocket League, because it's actually really entertaining, and sometimes it can be at times more entertaining than basketball or football. Like, I love watching like athletic sports, basketball, football. That's my thing, but esports have like grown so much, and they're getting a lot better at it, and it's pretty easily accessible. Like, Twitch is free. You don't have to like subscribe to like a TV network. You don't have to have cable. You just have to have internet, and you can watch it on YouTube or Twitch. It's pretty easy to get into. Certain games like Overwatch and like Dota and League of Legends may take a little time for you to like realize the rules and what's going on, but I would just give it a try, and that's about it.
All right. Well, Jeremy, thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
So to read more about esports, check out Jeremy's story at expressmagazine.org. And while you're there, check out some of the other fantastic feature pieces written by the Express Magazine staff. That's expressmagazine.org.